Sahana vavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, saha viryan karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 31, Shloka Anusharana. Summary of verses. Verses 1 to 16, Hiranyakashipu attempts to expurge Brahminical culture.
Expunge.
Expunge. Oh, yes, I was going to say. Oh, I see, it's an N, not an IR. I was going to say, wow, what an interesting word. Expurge. Expel and expunge, I guess, if you put it together, you get expurge. And 1761, Hiranyakashipu pacifies his grieving relatives. Verses 1 to 16. Attempts to expunge Brahminical culture. Oh, Hiranyakashipu.
Okay. He's far right.
Yes, yes. Reactionary right, right? Yeah, okay. The original troublemaker. In verses 1 to 16, Narad Muni describes how Hiranyakashipu tried to diminish the religious activities of the people in general. Sri Narad Muni said, "My dear King Yudhishthira, when Lord Vishnu in the form of Varaha, the boar, killed Hiranyaksha, Hiranyaksha's brother Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry and began to lament. Filled with rage and biting his lips, Hiranyakashipu gazed at the sun with eyes that blazed in anger, making the whole sky smoky." Right? So he's looking at the sun and making the sky smoky rather than his eyes are having some trouble. So you can understand how upset he was. Right? Okay. "Thus he began to speak, exhibiting his terrible teeth, fierce glance, and frowning eyebrows. Terrible to see, he took up his weapon, a trident, and thus began speaking to his associates, the assembled demons. O Danavas and Daityas, O Dimurdha, Trayaksha, Sambara, and Satabahu, O Hayagriva, Namuchi, Paka, and Ilvala, O Viprachiti, Puloma, Shakuna, and other demons, all of you kindly hear me attentively and then act according to my words, without delay. My insignificant enemies, the demigods, have combined to kill my very dear and obedient well-wisher, my brother Hiranyaksha. Although the Supreme Lord Vishnu is always equal to both of us, namely the demigods and the demons, this time, being devoutly worshipped by the demigods, he has taken their side and helped them kill Hiranyaksha." Verses 1 to 6, Srila Prabhupada comments. "The demon Hiranyakashipu accused the Lord of being partial because the demigods worshipped him. But in fact, the Lord, like the government, is not partial at all. The government is not partial to any citizen. But if a citizen is law-abiding, he receives abundant opportunities from the state laws to live peacefully and fulfill his real interests." Right? So in other words, the converse, you go against the government's laws, there's trouble. Right? So to take the earth and drop it down into the Garbhodak Ocean, that's against the laws, you know, of the government. So you're going to get trouble for that one. Right? Hiranyakashipu continued, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead has given up his natural tendency of equality towards the demons and demigods. Although he is the Supreme Person, now, influenced by Maya, he has assumed the form of a boar to please his devotees, the demigods, just as a restless child leans towards someone." Right? So now this all, I'm sure if the, what do you call it? All these things are technically praises of the Lord. But the way it's being presented in the pastime, they're like Shishupal. They're like, you know, offenses to the Lord, or, you know, criticisms of the Lord. Because he is, you know, how you say, aloof. He is influenced by Maya, means his Yoga Maya. He'll take it as Mahamaya, but actually by his Yoga Maya, he takes the form of Varaha. Right? Then he comes, performs his pastimes and all that. You know, so it's just about the devotee, because he is equal. But if someone puts in some effort, they get a result in that effort. The demons aren't putting any, they're not getting it. And he's like a restless child, means that they don't have any particular attachments, anything, they just move as they feel. So that's the way the Lord is. I shall therefore sever Lord Vishnu's head from his trunk by my trident, and with the profuse blood from his body I shall please my brother Hiranyaksha, who is so fond of sucking blood. Thus shall I too be peaceful. 7-8. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, if you think you should also worship Vishnu, please do not say that. You should remain and work for me. I will kill him alone. This is expressed in 2 verses, 7-8. But the scriptures say that Vishnu is supreme. Why then do you want to kill him? He is famous as Paramatma for being equal, but he has given up his neutrality. If he has given up that position, then what is his position as Paramatma now? Rather, he has given up that position as now simply an animal. Right? Animal meaning Varaha, right? Taking that form. He who was shining previously is now an animal, Matsya Kurma, under the control of Maya. He has become an ordinary person and is restless like a child controlled by sweets. Right? So like, the, you know, child's there, you show some sweets and they come over, right? So then the demigods are praising him and worshipping, so then he's going over to their side. So he's saying, yes, he's in that exalted position, we don't bother. Why not? Because he doesn't get in the way, that's why we don't bother. But now that it appears that he's gotten in his way, now we shall deal with this. So is it?
My first time bewildering this idea of Swajanakis. So even he knows Krishna's Lord's famous as being impartial.
Yes.
Because he's killed my brother.
Yeah, then it's a problem. Right. You know, everyone dies, all these things, as you'll see, he discusses the whole thing later. Yeah. But still, like you said, because of attachment, because of the material identity, when it's connected with his brother, then there's trouble. Yeah. So it's amazing.
But so when you say that it's an expression of personal, because this is his brother, that's why he reacts.
No, it's personal, but it can also be he can explain all that so that, you know, you come up with the right conclusion. You know, saying is that, you know, he's there, he's a great hero, so then we should also, like that, everybody die. You know, they use the same things, but, you know, he's moved on and therefore we should move on. But he just wants the family to move on so he's not crying and lamenting, because who wants to hang out in a house that everybody cries and laments? Right? Except those who are crying and lamenting, they like it, but, you know, everybody else is a bit of a problem. So he wants to stop that. Is that what you're saying? Right, so these others might think, oh, but what about this? He's the supreme, this, that, so then he counters all their arguments. Because they have doubts, but, you know, he's countering the arguments. Srila Prabhupada adds, the defect of the demoniac mentality is expressed in this verse very clearly. Hiranyakashipu thought that Vishnu also becomes partial, like a child whose mind is not steady or resolute. Lord can change his mind at any time. Hiranyakashipu thought, and therefore his words and activities are like those of a children. Actually, because the demons are ordinary human beings, their minds change, and being materially conditioned, they think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is conditioned also. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:11, Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanum ashritam. Fools deride me when I descend in human form. Demons always think that Vishnu can be killed. Therefore, being absorbed in thought of Vishnu's form to kill him, at least they have the opportunity to think of Vishnu unfavorably. Although they are not devotees, their thinking of Vishnu is effective, and thus they gradually attain Sayujya Mukti. Right? So you get liberated, because if they get to the point, they go to the Brahman, Now, from there, they can go back to Godhead, or if they come back into the world, they're coming back in a pure state. So they'll come back into a state of the mode of goodness. So hopefully then they'll start at the top and then, you know, hopefully not go down too far again. Right? Does that make sense? So they are benefited by always remembering the Lord in this way, even though they'll be killed by the Lord. Right? So. Because the demons consider the Supreme Lord an ordinary living being, they think that they can kill Lord Vishnu as one might kill an ordinary person. Another fact disclosed here is that demons are very much fond of sucking blood. Indeed, all of them are meat-eaters and bloodsuckers. Hiranyakashipu accused the Supreme Lord of having a restless mind like that of a small child, who can be induced to do anything if simply offered some cakes and laddus. Indirectly, this indicates the true position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who says in Bhagavad Gita 9:26, "One offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it." Right? So we can see as he's using it in a negative connotation, but actually all the things are proper philosophical understanding if you understand in their proper context. You understand? So that's the common thing that you'll see in all these points that are made by the Jayan Vijay. They're actually all praises of the Lord, but the context in which they're being said is the context of criticism. So there's also therefore another difference between, you know, the likes of them and Venu, right? So Hiranyakashipu, okay. The Lord accepts the offerings of devotees because of their transcendental love. Because they are in love with the Supreme Lord, they do not eat anything without offering it first to the Lord. The Lord does not hanker for a small leaf or flower. He has enough to eat. Indeed, he is feeding all living entities. Nonetheless, because he is very merciful, he is Bhaktivatsala, very favorable to the devotees. He certainly eats whatever they offer him with love and devotion. This quality should not be misjudged to be childish. Right? Because bad mentality always tends to deal like this. They can't understand what's good qualities. You know, like I think there's this saying, what is it? It's your exact wording, but it's basically along the line of no good deed goes unpunished. Right? You know. So, yes.
You said the Lord feeds everybody.
Lord feeds everybody.
With a meal. Demons eat meat and suck blood.
That's
relate.
Their meal.
Yeah, I cannot relate.
Who else
are providing the demons a meal as well?
But who? Where do the potency come to get a meal?
Sorry?
Where does the potency come to get the meal?
Potency, I cannot understand.
Potency.
I cannot understand the question.
What is the mother language or father language or whatever, how you say,
language?
Yes, you know,
potency, energy.
Yes, huh?
Energy, potency, meaning of the word potency, energy.
No, I was asking what you normally, what language, if you were, when you were small, what language were you speaking?
Croatian.
Okay, go ahead. No, I'm just trying to figure out where the connection is.
Yes, because it says Lord.
Croatian's interesting. It sounds like Russian being spoken with an Italian accent. It's very interesting. Yes.
Similar to Serbian.
Huh?
Similar to Serbian.
Okay.
But the question is, Lord provides everybody a meal.
Yes.
Demon eats meat.
Okay. So the cat. Mission? What does the cat eat?
Mouse?
Yeah, so, but how does the cat get the mouse?
By hunting.
Yes, but how does, but why is it, is it his food and why is he allowed to get it?
It's
just by luck?
Yeah.
He's like in Croatia, see, the thing is what you don't understand. In Croatia, cats eat mice. But when you go to other parts of the world, they don't.
No.
Like over, yeah, like you know, like up in Chicago, they only eat ice cream. Right? You know, like that, and very fat deep pan pizzas with tons of cheese. Right, you know, how cats are into dairy products like that. You know, like that. But when they go out to the West Coast, then they get more into, you know, the more leafy things. You know, sprouts. They love sprouts. You know, like that. You know, okay.
So, by, yeah.
So just in Croatia they eat mice, yeah. So.
So by their activity, you'll not have mice anymore in Croatia soon. By cat's activity.
Yes, like that. But unfortunately the mice are also performing their duties, so there's plenty of mice. Right. So the point is who's arranged that cats means every living entity is maintained by the Lord. Cats eat mice, so therefore that the cat gets a mouse is by the Lord's arrangement. So demons, then they eat all kinds of nonsense, but that's the external energy arranges that. It's not that Krishna's sitting there and, you know, asking them, you know, do they want Wimpy's or do they have into McDonald's today or, you know, that's not, he's not doing that. Okay? Yes. Okay. Yes. Of course not. If someone does something nice to you, then that puts you in the weaker position, so of course they have to take advantage, right?
I thought
you
were going to take that further before
the Christian. Oh, no. That was just a side point, but so many there are things there are side points. Like that. Yes, but the English cats, they really are not happy because boiled carrots and peas, come on, you know. So. Now, if they can get a crumpet or a scone, then they're okay. Mm-hmm. You know?
Okay.
If they're from down south, yes, okay, then they're okay. Okay. Yeah. So the whole point is that something's going on. Someone does something proper, so the demons will take advantage of that, like that. While in culture society, they won't. So amongst themselves, they may not, amongst their own community, but outside that, they won't see. So for someone to see on principle to follow that, that's very rare. That was the meaning of that other thing. You know, so someone like Yudhishthira, people do him wrong, but still he deals with them properly. You know, Bhima will do proper, but if someone does him wrong, he'll reciprocate in kind. You know, it's only, you know, proper. But Yudhishthira is exemplary because he sees everyone, so he's a Jatashatru. Like, you know, yes.
You see that Yudhishthira, for example, he does he's supposed to be doing his dharma. But when we speak about ourselves, it's usually the conditioning. And we are conditioned to do things in a certain way. When we become purified, we still have the conditioning.
No, but you have the pure part. See, the thing is you have, when we say superior qualities, right, we would consider them all proper or good, right? What are inferior qualities? Are they separate qualities?
No, they're the second part of those good ones.
Yes, that means the lack of the superior part. You know what I'm saying? Bad is not on its own. It's just lack of good. I say, lacking good to the bone, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's not. Yeah, I can see why they chose what they did. Yeah. Does that make sense? So, but we have a tendency to think that they're all separate. So that means if you purify, there may be manifesting an impure aspect, but as soon as you remove the impure, you'll be left with the original. Does that make sense? So there's no problem. That's why the Vedic culture, the focus is so much on the qualities. Then there's technique.
But if you use technique without qualities, it doesn't come across very good. You know what I'm saying? You know, if the thing's done with arrogance or things done with, you know, self-motivation, even though the skill is so good, you may appreciate the skill, but ultimately you can't. You know? Just like, was in this assembly, someone was discussing. They were mentioning some names. I think they're Italians. The husband's a conductor, famous conductor, and she's a famous, you know, operatic singer. And probably, you know, from what it was discussed within the operatic world, she's probably one of the most technically perfect singers. How she does it exactly, the voice, everything, it's just like a dream as far as technical goes. But the person was telling me, listening to her for a whole opera is very difficult because all that's there is the perfection of the technical. Now they mentioned somebody else who is a singer who's not so technically good, but you could listen to that singer all day because it's just so nice. You understand? So technique is way overrated. You know, it's the basis of the quality of the thing that you're working with. But at the same time, it's the mood in which is better. You know, does that make sense? You know, does that work? So that's why it's there, that proper mood and all that is applied for the what's the ultimate result. So technique is only part of the equation. Does that make sense? So that's why in the Vedas the qualities are made more prominent. Your qualities, your goals. That's why it's many times hard for the non-Vedic cultures to relate to it. Because most cultures simply work on what's the technique. You're better at the technique, you're better at the material world. Well, the Vedas is that you have better qualities, you have higher goals. That's what sets the individuals apart. Does that make sense? You know? Ashutama was good, but on one sense we don't actually give him a great position. You know what I'm saying? Or Duryodhana. You know, when it comes to club fighting, Duryodhana and Bhima are the best. But it's not that you think of him, when it comes to, you don't think of him as a great hero in club fighting. But Bhima, you'll think of him, you know, him in a club, here, Hanuman in the club. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. Technique is good, but if the mood is wrong, then that's there. So as one is purified by the practice of devotional service, naturally the good qualities become prominent. That's why it says the devotee has all the good qualities of the demigods. The demigods, it's that you have good qualities, they like being with you. If you have skills also, great. But even if you don't have so much skills, if you have good qualities, then they like you. It's just like most of the people in the Bhagavatam have really good skills, right? But as far as like material skills go, does Jara Bharat have any material skills? Right? You know, can't use the, you know, how you say, the toilet properly, can't carry the palanquin properly. You know, it's just, he doesn't seem to be really specifically good at anything. But the qualities he has and the understanding of the goal that he has, therefore he's in the body. So someone who does have good technique, you know, the king, then he's respected. Is that okay? So one doesn't have to worry that by chanting, it develops a good quality, by understanding properly of the instructions, and we set our goal, you know, on pure devotional service instead of something lower. So if our goal is on pure devotional service and we're becoming purified, then what's not to be good?
The intermediate duty?
Intermediate means between. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the goal is here and here?
Okay, so between the time when we're lacking good to the bone and hanging out with others that are also having a problem of not having much good to the bone, then to the point where we are nice, then in between is a problem. So one is humble, one tries to do all these things nicely. And of course, the next question is, what if we're not humble? Okay, yes. Then we try our best. So in this principle, you apply Jayapataka Maharaj's famous, formula of, if you can't do it, then you desire, if you can't cry for Krishna, you cry to cry for Krishna that way. Yeah. Is that? No? Okay. We're at the top, the first paragraph, huh? Yeah, because I was looking down here and I couldn't. Okay. The highest quality of the Supreme Lord is that he is bhakti-vatsala. In other words, he is always extremely pleased with his devotees. Because for him, it's only about devotional service. So if one's dealing on that devotional platform, then there's nothing more pleasing to him. But he is skills, he is qualities, he is goals, he is everything. So for him is when that affection is there, that's what's important for him. As for the word maya, when used in reference to the dealings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees, this word means affection. The actions of the Lord to favor his devotees are not disqualifications, but signs of his natural affection. So here's another way of looking at it. So it's not even that there's just one nice, interpretation of what they're saying. You can have so many. Hiranyakashipu continued, when the root of a tree is cut and the tree falls down, its branches and twigs automatically dry up. Similarly, when I have killed this diplomatic Vishnu, the demigods for whom Lord Vishnu is the life and soul will soon lose the source of the life and wither away. Srila Prabhupada comments, because the demigod, his point is that Vishnu is generally neutral, right? So he's the Lord in the heart, this, that, blah, so, they're cool with that. If he wants to come around while they do whatever they're doing, what do they care? He's just an observer, right? So, and the demigods are their enemies. Now, if the demigods go to Vishnu and on their have gotten Vishnu to go after them, then to get back at the demigods, because they're dependent on Vishnu, get rid of Vishnu, then you get rid of the demigods. And then you have a demigod-free universe, and so life is good, right? The difference between the demigods and the demons is explained here. The demigods always follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the demons simply plan to disturb or kill him. Nevertheless, sometimes the demons very much appreciate the full dependence of the demigods upon the mercy of the Lord. This is indirect glorification of the demigods by the demons. Right? Because if there's loyalty, if there's commitment from that, you have to appreciate that. Maybe you don't like the form, maybe you don't like other things, but that's appreciated. Does that make sense? So that kind of thing people will notice, because that's a good quality, as we mentioned before. So the qualities are appreciated. They may not like the demigods, but this aspect, okay, they can appreciate. It's just like they have their king, and people are committed to the king and work hard and, willing to sacrifice, then people say, this person's good. Right? So if one has higher qualities, then one is going to appreciate this kind of thing. Just like we see on the Battle of Kurukshetra, that as the kings are fighting, if someone's showing some very excellent prowess, the other kings, even if they're enemies, then they'll say it's well done, it's properly, nicely executed, and like this. Even though it's the enemy, it's like, wow, that was really good. some extent, because at the same time is a, if you want to deal with an enemy, you have to be aware of their strengths and weaknesses. You have to respect. If you have an enemy you don't respect, there'll be problem. Like that. So if someone does something well and you know they can do it well, even you acknowledge they can do it well, it puts you in the stronger position because now you know what their strength is. Does this make sense? Well, many times it's taken, oh, if I say something nice, then that's a weakness on my part. No, that's actually a strength. Because if you don't acknowledge the other's strength, you just think, you know, hey, I'm the most powerful, I can do everything like that, it generally doesn't end up so well like that. You're so busy with everybody in front of you, you don't notice the guy behind you putting on his gloves. Right? No? Too esoteric, I guess. Okay. Hiranyakashipu continued, "While I am engaged in the business of killing Lord Vishnu, go down to the planet Earth, which is flourishing due to Brahminical culture and a Kshatriya government. These people engage in austerity, sacrifice, Vedic study, regular vows, and charity. Destroy all these people thus engaged." Right? So we can see, as here's another, it appears that, it's what he's going to do is not proper, but you see he's a glorification. Like that, when there's Brahminical culture, proper Kshatriya government, the people engaged in these austerity, sacrifice, Vedic study, regulative vows, and charity, then they're always going to be prosperous. And by doing all these things, the demigods will prosper. So the idea is that he's attacking the demigods from two sides, right? It's very political. You know, the straightforward things like Karna, you have a thing with the enemy, go challenge the enemy and fight. Right, but because that hasn't worked out, now he's using the political thing. You go after what is the support. So from Vishnu is the support, he's the root of the tree, and the proper followers of the Vedic culture, that'll also be nourishing to the demigods. So you get rid of those two things, then they'll basically just wither up and die. Right? That's the idea. Right? But here, it's a glorification, so we know all these things are what makes something work and makes it powerful. And if you leave these things out, then it will be less powerful.
It's so interesting that demoniac mentality really like plans out on the absence of the maintenance of those who are maintaining the universe. They're imagining the absence of those and imagining their own life to be more prosperous.
It's not necessarily, demoniac doesn't mean necessarily fully well thought out.
It's like having a building and saying that when there will be no foundation, the building will just float in the air, then I will be happy.
No, but the thing is he controls everything himself. So he's confident that he'll be able to control everything in the universe.
Confident.
Because you don't find necessarily others, big guys, doing it.
Huh? See the confidence. It's only based on false ego in this case?
No, but he's quite powerful. He does do all kinds of things. I think it was from here or it's farther up that he makes the seasons work as he likes. He makes everything work as he likes.
But he's not as beautiful as
this,
right? He's not more powerful than
Krishna. No. But the point is due to false ego, because he can do all these things, therefore. It's like a man with a lot of money, and he can get so many things done, he thinks he can do everything on his own. He doesn't need anybody.
So he's bewildered by his minute, little power.
Okay. Yes, by his little power compared to Vishnu, but compared to anybody else in the universe, he's more powerful. The biggest demon that there's ever been in history is Hiranyakashipu. There's big demons. Kamsa's a big demon. He makes so much trouble, and all his friends who are lesser demons than him. But Hiranyakashipu was the demon. He's Ravana when he goes to visit Bali Maharaj, you know, because they're on the same family. And he's hosted by him. He sees in the distance this glittering mountain. And he says, "What's that?" He says, it's an earring from Hiranyakashipu. He says, "You can have it if you like." You know, because it was such, you know, beautiful and shining that Ravan was so impressed. He went over, he was climbing up and down, looking at the stones. You know, big, huge thing. You know? And but then Mali Maharaj's point is, you know, he couldn't even lift it. And so Bali Maharaj's point is, you can't lift that. That's an earring for Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was killed by Vishnu. And you think you're going to survive? You know, no, you're going to kill him, but Hiranyakashipu. Right? So Ravana was the next biggest demon. Is that what it is? Yes. Yeah, so they're really powerful compared to everybody else. So he's more powerful than the demigods. But the point is, because the demigods, the mode of goodness, they're supposed to be in the position they are, then they win. Mm-hmm. So, yes?
Do you know where this occurs? In lower planet system?
I know they're down there someplace.
It says go down to the earth. It says go down to the earth.
Unless they've taken over the heavenly planets and are sitting up there, then it's going down there. But that would be a natural way of looking at it. So it could be very easily in that form. Because I think Hari Bhakti Shudo Doi, these pastimes are happening in so many places. So where this is, because here's, one of them is talking about the heavenly planets, Indra's place, but then we have here Ahobalam and all those kind of things, so that means that at one point it happened here. This is not necessarily this one. But the principle is the same thing. It's always, there's going to be a pillar, he comes out of the pillar. The other thing is when the demons look at the earth, look at the Vastu Mandala, what do they see? They see his face. Demigods see his back.
What they see is up is down, what they see is
yeah.
Up.
Yeah, so in that way, it can be they're going from there. So, it's just a matter of, in other words, all these things are possible, but the point is it doesn't technically matter which one it is. The principle is that those on earth following the Vedic culture, that nourishes the whole universe. So get rid of them, you get rid of that aspect, get rid of Vishnu on the other end, so you've attacked the problem from both sides. Srila Prabhupada comments, Hiranyakashipu's main purpose was to disturb the demigods. He planned first to kill Lord Vishnu so that with Lord Vishnu's death, the demigods would automatically weaken and die. Another of his plans was to disturb the residents of the planet Earth. The peace and prosperity of the residents of Earth and all the other planets were maintained by the Brahmins and Kshatriyas. Right. So, there's another aspect that's there, because we generally speak on the point of, the dutifulness and what's the advantage of the Vedic culture and all that. There's also the element of the duty is that what's being followed here, if it's followed properly, the whole culture, it maintains actually the whole universe. So to say, we don't have to do all that because we're from a particular geographic region, then the point is at the same time as talk about universal kind of application, the point is what about the universe? How will that be made taken care of? How will that be maintained? So in other words, duty means we have to think bigger than ourselves. So we start with ourselves, technically that's called anamoy. We get together as a group of anamoyists, then that's called pranamoy. Right? But the interesting thing is a group of pranamoyists does not make dharma. That's a whole different thing. Is that what it says? Before the advent of Lord Krishna on this earth, it is understood that the earth was managed by the Brahmins and Kshatriyas. The duty of the Brahmins is to cultivate sama, peacefulness, dhamma, self-control, titiksha, tolerance, satyam, truthfulness, saucham,
cleanliness, and arjavam, simplicity, and then to advise the Kshatriya kings how to rule the country or planet. Right, so it's not just I have something to say or I have an opinion, so I should have a forum to say it. One has to have the qualities, then one has something to say. Right? In other words, administrators, they have to have the knowledge and everything to be able to do the activity. And they have to have the ability to follow those that have the qualities and knowledge to give advice. Right? So in other words, one has the skill, one has the knowledge. Right? And then the combination is therefore the qualities. So one has the great qualities to be able to just advise and see things in a proper light. The other one has the qualities to be able to appreciate that skills is based on knowledge. Because there's a theory to something, there's a knowledge. Then that is practically applied. So when we say skill, we generally mean the practical application. But nowadays, you don't even have to have that. You just have to go to a seminar where they talk about skills and you're confident enough. Does that make sense? Following the instructions of the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas should engage the populace in austerity, sacrifices, Vedic study, and adherence to the rules and regulations established by Vedic principles. They should also arrange for charity to be given to the Brahmanas, sannyasis, and temples. This is the godly arrangement of Brahminical culture. Footnote 10. In his purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 5.15.7, Srila Prabhupada writes, "Actually, there are no kings or Brahmanas in this age, and due to their absence, the whole world is in a chaotic condition and is always in distress." So that's the actual cause. It's not something else. Oh, if we adjust this, we adjust that, it'll all be all right. No, it's only when we actually practice Brahminical culture and follow the recommendations of the scriptures, that's when it'll be okay. Is this here? Yes. Devotees are Brahman by ashram, yes.
So, if a devotee has Brahminical qualities and he's an administrator, does he need a Brahman to counsel him? Or he can
you always need people to counsel. But the point is then if he's qualified, he needs to have people that are more qualified. You know what I'm saying? Dasarat is the emperor, but who's his advisor? Right? Vishishta. You understand? So the point is that you always have to have advisors. It's always good. It's always important. You know what I'm saying? He may not necessarily have, but if there is something around, you take from there. You listen to lectures, you hear things, you gain things, you hear from others' examples and this and that. So if you're smart, you can take from so many places. So
Hiranyakashipu continued. The basic principle of Brahminical culture is to satisfy Lord Vishnu, the personification of sacrificial and ritualistic ceremonies, right? So here even a demon understands this. Okay. Lord Vishnu is the personified reservoir of all religious principles, and he is the shelter of all the demigods, the great pitas, and the people in general. When the Brahmins are killed, no one will exist to encourage the Kshatriyas to perform yajnas, and thus the demigods, not being appeased by yajna, will automatically die. Right? So that's a two-pronged attack to make sure the demigods die. Srila Prabhupada comments, "From this verse we get a clear indication of how human society is disturbed when the Vedic Arya civilization is killed and the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies performed by the Brahmanas are stopped. Kalau Shudra Sambhava. Because the population of the modern world consists mostly of Shudras, the Brahminical culture is now lost and is extremely difficult to re-establish in a proper way. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has recommended the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, which will revive Brahminical culture very easily." So the point is we can say, oh no, but we just chant Hare Krishna and all that. Yes, that's what we do. That's the main thing. But by doing that, it will revive all these other things that will make it so much easier. Right? It's just like this. Let us say you have good cooking technique or you have an amazing kitchen, right? But no cooking technique. Right. So will there, so the point is if you have good cooking technique, despite the lack of a good kitchen, you can still make things work. But a good cook with facility and time, what's he going to do? He's just going to continue cooking in the old, you know, tomato soup cans. Right? He's going to make a proper kitchen. Right? At the same time, say someone doesn't know how to cook. You give them a good kitchen or a bad kitchen, it'll be a little bit better with a good kitchen. Okay. Does that make sense? They don't know how to do, they're going to burn things anyway, but if you have a good nonstick pan, then it'll burn a little less. You understand? So that's the whole idea, is with this combination between the Yuga Dharma, which is going to actually give the results, and following the Vedic culture, then you put yourself in a good situation with the most powerful, you know, element that's going to make advancement happen. So Prabhupada just didn't say here, we just chant the holy name and that's all. No, he says Brahminical culture will very easily be reestablished. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, because as a culture goes, you don't have any better than that. He says, oh, people aren't following now. Yes, that's right. So by chanting the holy name, by the same Sankirtan mission, it will improve. Does that make sense? Because of the increment in the demoniac population, people have lost Brahminical culture, nor is there a Kshatriya government. Instead, the government is a democracy in which any Shudra can be voted into taking up the governmental reins and capture the power to rule. Because of the poisonous effects of Kali Yuga, the Shastra, Srimad Bhagavatam 12.2.13, says, Dasyu Prayeshu Rajasu. The government will adopt the policies of Dasyus, or plunderers. Thus there will be no instructions from the Brahmanas. And even if there are Brahminical instructions, there will be no Kshatriya rulers who can follow them. Aside from Satyuga, even formerly in the days when demons were flourishing, Hiranyakashipu planned to destroy the Brahminical culture and the Kshatriya government, and thus create chaos all over the world. Although in Satyuga this plan was very difficult to execute, in Kali Yuga, which is full of Shudras and demons, the Brahminical culture is lost and can be revived only by the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Therefore, the Krishna Conscious Movement, or the Hare Krishna Movement, has been inaugurated to revive Brahminical culture very easily, so that people may become happy and peaceful in this life and prepare for elevation in the next. Right, so the idea is that the culture is not, it's not that over chanting to establish the culture. It's that the chanting as a byproduct will establish the culture. Because the main thing is absorption in the Lord. But the culture itself is the best environment, so therefore people will become, what does it say? Happy and peaceful. That's the only way people will become happy and peaceful. Because by following, the more and more they follow the modern way of thinking, the less and less people are satisfied. Like that. Have you ever read there was a study done? I'm not sure who did it. Generally it's some university with nothing better to do. But they did this whole study on in the world of who are the most happiest, either, you know, countries or cultures or like that.
Happiness index.
Do you happen to know who was higher or lower on the indexes?
Bangladesh
was number one.
Bhutan.
Really?
That's
Bangladesh. Maybe that's why they
Bhutan
sang the song.
Bhutan. Because that's how they measure. The government measures the satisfaction of the people as the basic measurement of their well-being.
Oh, as if the government's going nicely.
There might have been more than one such study.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Listen.
But in other words, if the country starts with B, then you're doing okay. Uh-huh. How did Brunei do?
Brunei is also good.
Also good. Okay, see? The B theory is working. Okay, good. Yes.
The fourth from the bottom was hungry.
The fourth from the bottom was hungry.
I don't remember which one was the fourth, but hungry was fourth.
Out of 100, how many countries did they go through? Really, fourth from the bottom. Really? So that's the, that was due to the MMM? The Magyar Machissimo males, so therefore no one's happy. It was an article I read. It was written by some Hungarian that it was a joke on, because they have a political party called MMM, and then they have another one that has something else, but they turned it into something else. It was turning it into a husband and a wife, and then how they were dealing and all that, and then they were pointing out the typical Hungarian male, you know, is very, you know, proud of himself and how male he is, but he doesn't actually have any sensitivity towards the women. And so therefore, if that's lacking, then naturally the whole thing will go down. Well, you see, it's like Bengalis are generally very careful with their women, and then, but the Bengalis that follow the Bengali culture the most will be the Bangladeshis, because of, it's not their country. Over here, it's their country, so they do what they like. Over there, it's not, so you tend to stick to your own culture. So, in that way, I would tend to think, because Bengal is east, right? And Bangladesh is the farthest east. So then, it would naturally be, and probably if you go straight up, then you'll hit Bhutan.
Yeah, you walk into the study, you're quite surprised, because they were about one of the most poverty-stricken countries that they dealt with.
Yeah, no, it's every year it's the flood and all that, you know.
They also did it with the occupation.
Who were most happy with their occupation?
And the hairdressers.
The hairdressers were the most comfortable.
But you know who were the most unhappy ones? The surgeons and the doctors.
The surgeons, yeah.
Most what?
Yeah, the surgeons most unhappy. And I mean, you know, it's like, come on, $2 million a year? That's a pittance. So they must have really, really feel bad, right? You know? Yeah.
Software.
Yeah, yeah. Plastic surgeons probably would be more satisfied. Interesting. Hairdressers. Did it matter whether it was male or female?
Yeah. Hairdressers and any food for the career.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And they only talk and do some
nice stuff.
Get all the news, yeah, okay.
Getting paid, that's it.
Huh?
Getting paid also at the same time. Do whatever they like and getting paid.
Oh, okay.
You know, you paid the gossip.
Okay.
That was their experience.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it. It sounds like it could easily be true. So then we see is that the country, and the most likely, the more that they're kind of following these modern kind of principles of lacking in tradition and authority and that, they're probably farther down on the list. And those that follow it, you know, will be higher up. You know, set aside, you know, national disasters and all these other kinds of things. Does that make sense? So the idea is that why Prabhupada is saying happy and peaceful, because that's what the Vedic culture does. You had a theory.
Yeah, in regards to natural disasters that happen according to the particular sinful activities that people perform in different countries.
You have a theory on what particular activities the country is doing, so therefore what particular...
Natural disasters, yeah. Which elements, which of the five elements, and how they are destroyed.
Five elements meaning earth, fire, water, air, and ether.
Yeah. For example, like in America, there are tornadoes and stuff, which never happened like in Russia or these countries, because like the air doesn't run around itself there. It just doesn't happen. Yeah, so
No, but the point is that, but what's the cause of it being air and tornadoes and stuff like that?
This is what I'm doing and still researching.
But what sense is air connected to? What sense is air connected to? Okay, you have activity, yes, you have action. But are the tan mantras? Tan mantras.
touch.
Air is skin, touch.
Skin touch. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it makes sense.
So, they're crazy down there. So, yeah, they always hit down there, right? Off the Caribbean.
Yeah, because we're also still long with going for alcoholics and stuff. Like that. There's a real kind of people.
Yeah, you also don't get in Sweden. They're too far apart to actually bump into anybody.
Sweden? Oh. Mm. What is that? They go to bushfires.
Fire scene.
Yes.
I don't know. They look a lot of stupid stuff. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hiranyakashipu continued. Immediately go wherever there is good protection for the cows and brahmanas, and wherever the Vedas are studying in terms of the Varnashram principles.
Right, because you may study the Vedas not in the Varnashram principles, and you come up with a V2, you know, missile. But the point is, when it's followed according to the principles, then it comes out more properly. Like that. Yes. You think he's going to mess up his own neighborhood? He's pointing it out that these are good points, and because it's going nice, it's going well for the demigods, therefore get rid of them there, it'll affect the demigods. But it doesn't mean he's not going to follow it. You know? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? You know, it's you know, we're talking economy here. You know, so. Of course he follows. That's the whole point. What's it? Sunda
and
Amarka. Then, you know, there are the Brahmins there and things like that. So, you know, so it's he follows the culture. His kid's going to Gurukul. The guy is the biggest demon in the universe. His kid goes to Gurukul. Like that. You know, he has faith that this is the system. Right? And then those who are supposed to be following the Brahminical culture, the Varnashram, mm-hmm. Then it's like, hey. No, really? Are you kidding? Yeah, so he's not going to mess it up for himself. He knows what's the best, so he follows it. Is that? Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada comments, the picture of a proper human civilization is indirectly described here, right? So far, everything he's described is all actually what's supposed to be proper. So you can learn so much from these pastimes of Hiranyakashipu. What is proper philosophy? What is the proper culture? What is the proper application? Though he's speaking of it in the negative. That's why it mentions in the Shastras, the instructions may be positive, the instructions may be negative. Right? It's not that it's what the point is, you get to the essence and then that works.
In a perfect human civilization, there must be a class of men fully trained as perfect Brahmins. Similarly, there must be Kshatriyas to rule the country very nicely according to the injunction of the Shastras, and there must be Vaishyas who can protect the cows. The word Gava indicates that cows should be given protection. Because the Vedic civilization is lost, cows are not protected, but instead indiscriminately killed in slaughterhouses. Such are the acts of the demons. Therefore, this is a demoniac civilization. Footnote 11. In this chapter summary of chapter 19 of the fifth canto, in his chapter summary, Srila Prabhupada writes, Narad Muni's opinion is that even if there is some temporary disturbance in the execution of the Varnashram Dharma principles, they can be revived at any moment. Right? This idea is, oh, it's dead, it's gone, and that. No, it can all come back. Because it's there. Because what do we say? The Vedas that revealed knowledge. So if one practices like that, by the Lord's grace, they can be revived. Also, there's so much knowledge there that we don't know about because it's not valued, no one comes forward. Does that make sense? You know, that's there. It's just like, you go back some time, then is it that... Okay. In India, then, people follow the scriptures, the technical points. Vedanta Sutra and all these other things. They're technical, no? Right. And so people know all these things.
and they're applying it into that culture. But if they shift it into the Western culture, who are the main people working in Silicon Valley? They're all from over here. Right? And they're saying, so that's the whole thing, is that you just shift it, it works over. You know? I mean, the last, was it 10 years or something? Then how many Miss Universes from India? It's been like two. You know? Like that. Yeah. You see, I mean, Miss Universe, all the countries together, and Miss World or Miss whatever it is a few of those kind of things like that. It's just, but before it was, they, you know, just didn't go out on the street. They were just, does that make sense? So the whole point is that it can be revived because there are people there who know stuff, but because it's not valued, why come forward? A person who has a valuable skill but no one values it, why is it going to come forward? But if it's valued, it'll come forward. So there's all kinds of people who have all kinds of knowledge, but it's not being valued, so then who goes and asks them? You know what I'm saying? So that's why at any time it can be either revealed to the individual, or there's those who are already practicing, and like this combination it can be. So it's not that, oh, it's Kali Yuga, we can't do these things. No, it's Kali Yuga, we are not doing these things. Not that you couldn't do these things. Yes?
If amongst a society of devotees, the need of culture is not being established, should we understand that there is some influence of Kali Yuga that's causing that?
You could look at it that way. It means easily, because looking at the background is coming from a Kali Yuga background. So all it is that the influence of the Kali Yuga hasn't gone away, rather than saying, oh, it's coming in and influencing. No, it just hasn't gone away yet. So if you just give it time, it will go away, because the point is, as you give it over the generations, it will adjust.
From the first canto, we learned that by following the regular principles, analysis, sex, intoxication, and eating, and gambling, and no avoiding of gold, probably not influence.
Yes.
So it's just a gradual decrease of what's already.
Yes, you just as you control these things, it'll all get.
Is there a subtle aspect of those five also? For example, no intoxication related to intoxicated with pride or something like that?
Yeah, can be. It means an equal sin with, or I mean the category of sin of intoxication is reviling the Vedas. So those who oppose the Vedas, it's equal to intoxication.
And similarly, the sins that equal to cow killing.
Killing a Brahmin is equal to that. You know, cow killing is equal to that. Blaspheming a Brahmin is equal to that.
Okay.
Like that. So. Yeah, all these things are, you could say yes. There must be so many subtleties of that. It's just that, you know, we just have to work on the main thing. Well, you do have the thing of the Dharma. Intoxication then will be, what is intoxication? Because there's two ways of looking at it. I'd say gambling will be truthfulness. Illicit sex is cleanliness. Then meeting an intoxication, it appears that you can switch the two around between austerity and sense control. Isn't it? What were you going to say?
Mercy,
yes. So many will put meat eating and mercy, but you can sing real nice meat eaters that are quite kind to people and charitable. But how many really nice, merciful heroin addicts have you seen? No, they, you know, it's just like, you know, they're having problem, you know, you bring them to your place and try to get them to be okay and all that, and they're getting feeling a little better, and then you go to the kitchen to get them something, and then you hear a little noise and you come back and they've stolen your television and left. So it's just, where's the mercy? Where's that kindness? Like that. So it goes there. So that way of looking at it generally isn't understood. While the point eat is meat eating means there's no austerity. You can't control your tongue. Therefore, you have to eat other living entities.
It's not taking the human quota.
Yes, it's going outside it. So there's no control, no austerity. It means you're not following your duties, the human duty. So that's the one of the ways. Sometimes it's put the other way, like that also. You know, so the media, that there's no mercy because you're killing the animals just to eat them. Right? And then, you know, the drug, there's no austerity. They can't follow their duties. They're not interested. So those two seem to be reversible depending upon how you're applying or this individual. But the other two seem to be always fixed. So those are your subtle, those four. Yeah.
If you really need a mirror, like it affects your like your digestive system. Like also if you're taking intoxication, it affects your brain and all your nervous system, which means that you're just biologically changing yourself. It means you can't really act like in different way unless you're going through a very, very, very serious treatment.
No, these things are there, but the main point is that these are stuff that back it up. It's not that these are the proof. You understand?
Yeah.
In the way of it's the proof, these are just further implications.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you understand? So the main point, because let's say, okay, it disturbs the brains or the nerves, it gets to the liver, ruins the stomach, all these different things like that. But, and those will definitely have effect. But you have persons who have those difficulties by karma without. You understand? And they may or may not be affected by them in their relationships and dealings with others. Yeah, some people have health issues, but they're really nice people. Some people have health issues, and they're not so nice. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point of karma. That's why when you get down to there, it gets a little more slippery. But the loss of the good qualities is the main thing. Because these other things will be the physical and the skills and all those kind of things.
It's difficult to pick up.
Yes, but the point is, it's the qualities that you're going to use to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
What about if you mentioned, would that be like an incidental illustration?
It's a further, but it's not the main, because the main is the quality. Because when the quality goes, then whether you have skill or not, then it becomes inferior. Does that make sense? Let us say, Arjuna on the battlefield. Okay, what do we think about when he's on the chariot there with Krishna? What comes to mind? What are ways we would describe Arjuna?
He's
a devotee. Heroic,
expert.
Military.
Sorry, military.
Surrendered.
Victorious.
These are all qualities. Now, along with that, he has excellent skill. But someone else may have skill, but they don't necessarily have that. Who was the guy?
Ekalavya.
Yeah, Ekalavya. Amazing skill. I think it was, even the Pandavas were amazed, so it appears that his skill might have been better than them. But the problem was is his character was wrong.
Karna.
Yeah, great skill. I mean, when he showed the skills, he was as basically anything Arjuna did, he could do. But we see in any fight, Arjuna always won. Always. Somehow or another. And another one of his lack of qualities of Karna is memory. He doesn't remember that he, Duryodhana, and all the Kauravas could not defeat the Gandharvas, and Arjuna single-handedly did. They never remember that. They somehow just, you know, or what's his name? No, Chitrata, yeah, you know, he defeated him, but then the most funny one is the, you know, the lady with all the brightly colored clothes and ornaments and all that defeated the whole Kaurava army.
Yes, the eunuch. What was the name?
Brihannala.
Yeah, Brihannala. That was, they were all out there and one person defeated them. So somehow or another they just don't remember. That's illusion, that's madness. They've been defeated every time they've dealt with the Pandavas. Every single time. At the same time as they can't remember. Yeah.
That's us.
Yes. So we're trying to get to the point of Yudhishthira. They did all that wrong to him, and he doesn't remember that. That we remember very well. What I did to others, I seem to forget, but what anybody else did to me, that I remember. So it's a, what do you call it? Selective memory.
So it's misapplication of sensitivity.
Yes, misapplication of sensitivity. Yeah. So that's the thing, is that it's the qualities that are important. That's what stands out. So when you lose the qualities because of these things, that's then where the you understand? That's the more major thing than it damages the liver, it damages the this or that or so many things. You know, that means, I think there was a medical thing and they came along, some guy came and he had a headache. They did a scan of that and he had some kind of thing where I think spinal fluid was going into the brain that so much that it pushed his brain, it was just like a thin layer on the top of his skull. And he was functioning quite fine. You know? I think there was this guy in Oregon, he was out there in the, you know, in the countryside, and they go for their, you know, archery hunting and stuff like that, and somehow ended up with an arrow straight through his skull, in one side and out the other. And he's perfectly fine. Huh? Yeah, it would definitely be a conversation piece. Strike up a conversation with anybody with that. You know, so the whole point is there.
Was his surname Tell? He was the unlucky brother.
Yeah, he was the one with the apple on his head.
And Daksha's got a goat head on.
Yeah, he's got a goat head on. Everything's fine. Right? You know. And he said, on your part of the world, there's no, how you say, derogatory comment about somebody's intelligence, comparing them to a goat? You don't have anything like that over there? Yeah, you have. Right. Okay. Yeah, I'm saying in America, no one says, you know, he's a goat brain or goat head. What are you saying?
It's all about goats.
It's all about goats. Okay, yeah. So the point is they don't rank very high on the totem pole, right? They don't rank very high. In the social stratification of individuals, goats don't rate very high. No, okay. So Daksha has a goat head. Yeah, but the point is everything works quite fine. So what I'm saying is, these are elements that can have effect, but the main effect is going to be the loss of these qualities. So does that make sense? These are extra added on, like you said, incidental. You know, just to throw in, just because it's there. But if it's that proves it, then it doesn't prove it. For every thing, you know, physical and that somebody has, somebody else, it's not a problem. Right. So. Okay. The Varnashram Dharma mentioned here is essential for human civilization. Unless there is a Brahmana to guide, a Kshatriya to rule perfectly, and a perfect Vaishya to produce food and protect the cows, how will people live peacefully? It is impossible, right? So that's why these positions are dvija, they head society. Because when those are in place, then the common person will be able to be happy and peaceful. But if these three aren't in place, then there'll always be a problem. Sri Narad Muni continued, thus the demons, being fond of disastrous activities, took Hiranyakashipu's instructions on their heads with great respect and offered him obeisances, right? So they're acting with good qualities here. But it's just being misapplied.
Being fond of disastrous activities.
Yes, being fond of disastrous activities. Such a nice phrase.
fond of disastrous activities. According to his directions, they engaged in envious activities directed against all living beings. Srila Prabhupada comments, the followers of the demoniac principles are, as described here, are thoroughly envious of the general populace. In the present day, scientific advancement exemplifies such envy. The discovery of nuclear energy has been disastrous to people in general because demons all over the world are manufacturing nuclear weapons, right? So the people that manufacture the nuclear weapons or use the nuclear weapons, how much will they be affected? Not so much because they're in some bunker somewhere. But so who gets affected? The common person. Right? That's the word kadana priya is very significant in this regard. The demoniac persons who want to kill the Vedic culture are extremely envious of the feeble citizens, and they act in such a way that ultimately their discoveries will be inauspicious for everyone. The 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita fully explains how the demons engage in sinful activities for the destruction of the populace. You know, there's possibly, I'd say, more, you know, weaponry banned by the Geneva Convention than is allowed. Right? In other words, they come up with, you know, they're regularly coming up with something newer and newer ways to get rid of people like that. You know? As you know, how you say, Maya's not doing a good enough job, right? Like that. They have to insist. Sri Narad Muni continued, the demons set fire to the cities, villages, pasturing grounds, cow pens, gardens, agricultural fields, and natural forests. They burnt the hermitages of the saintly persons, the important mines that produced valuable metals, the residential quarters of the agriculturalists, the mountain villages, and the villages of the cow protectors, the cowherd men. They also burned the government capitals. Some of the demons took digging instruments and broke down the bridges, the protective walls, and the gates, gopuras of the city. Some took axes and began cutting the important trees that produced mango, jackfruit, and other sources of food. Some of the demons took firebrands and set fire to the residential quarters of the citizens. And so they, you know, they just... Yeah, I mean, it's just like how you say it. Halloween got out of control, definitely, here. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada comments, the cutting of trees is generally prohibited. In particular, trees that produce nice fruit for the maintenance of human society should not be cut. In different countries, there are different types of fruit trees. In India, the mango and the jackfruit trees are prominent. And in other places, there are mango trees, jackfruit trees, coconut trees, and berry trees. Any tree that produces nice fruit for the maintenance of the people should not be cut at all. This is a Shastric injunction. Right, so it's, what's the need? It's already there, it's growing, it's doing nicely, you work around that. Like that. Sri Narad Muni continued, thus disturbed again and again by the unnatural occurrences caused by the followers of Hiranyakashipu, all the people had to cease the activities of Vedic culture. Not receiving the results of yajna, the demigods also became disturbed. They left their residential quarters in the heavenly planets and, unobserved by the demons, began wandering on the planet Earth to see the disasters. Yes?
Why did they do that? The demigods?
Why? Where else are they going to go?
Stay where they are. What's to see?
To see is what's caused... Means, in other words, they're not getting their offerings because the culture stopped. Why is it stopped? So they're coming and seeing that. But, you know, this, you know, the demons are making trouble. They came to see what kind of trouble they're making. Verses 17 to 61. Yes. Hiranyakashipu pacifies his grieving relatives. It's just like the thing is, what's causing you trouble is generally attracts attention.
So you want to know what the cause is, what's the origin, so that, you know, the idea that you can remove that. So if they know the cause, then maybe they can do something about it. You know, if they go down and no one's doing yajnas and all that, and they find out they're all down at the bingo hall, then, you know, then they know how to, they can go speak to the rabbi and see if they can work something out. You know?
I was just thinking, why would you go yourself and send somebody?
That's if everything's going nice in that, but if your whole existence disappears, then you go. And
so if you ran into people, was right. You're doing those activities.
I mean, for effectiveness, yes. Yeah, for effectiveness, yes. One is that how the demigods, everything's working nicely, then it works well that way. But also it's just how his followers are so happy to do these things. You know, so you put that together and it's a very effective thing. Yes.
Do you know that they don't do so they just don't come to see what's going on?
Oh, here it's just Kali Yuga, so it's probably mentioned in Nectar Devotion. It says they used to come down all the time, be with the kings and the great sages and that. It says now they don't even come to pass water. So, yeah. Yeah, nothing happened here. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandini.